Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Today's what I call a fun day on ABQ Connect. I have Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, in studio. And sometimes, Jennifer, we talk about some pretty heavy topics on this program, and
yes,
they're necessary and essential, and but I really like talking about food.
Yeah, me too.
It's a fun day.
Yes.
And you make your living doing that.
I do.
That's exciting. Tell us about Nourish Nutrition Counseling and how you work and what you do.
Yeah. So I started Nourish Nutrition Counseling about 2 years ago. And my goal was to somehow, and at the time when I started it, I wasn't quite sure how I was going to do this, but my goal was to somehow marry biblical principles with healthy eating. And how we treat our bodies. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that working for anybody because there's a lot of times you can't bring your religion into work and, you know, unless you work at a church, of course, mm-hmm. or another religious organization. But so I just had this desire to somehow bring the two together. And so that's why I started.
Well, and it sounds like from some of the people that you've talked about serving in a mm-hmm. non-specific way. Of course, mm-hmm. you have confidentiality with everything,
yeah.
but it sounds like you've served people that are not necessarily in the faith community too.
Absolutely.
And they trust you and you have all the yeah. credentials to help them. And then you have a lot of people that really appreciate the biblical
right.
aspects of what you're talking about.
Right.
Well, we're going to today, you know, we've started 2020,
mm-hmm.
a new decade. We've not only have a new year, but a new decade, and there are a lot of popular diets. Our goal today is for you to tell us all about those popular diets and maybe a little bit about each one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people in the first 8-9 days of this year are already trying some
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, it's interesting because come the new year, a lot of us have resolutions related to our health in some way. And a lot of times people will choose to do some type of a diet with some fairly heavy restrictions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that depends on, and this is what I'm hearing from people, is, you know, quote unquote, how bad I was at Christmas or in that week between Christmas and New Year's. And so the decision to do a diet is based on guilt and how they feel they did in the last couple weeks of the year, which I find interesting. But there's a lot of popular things going on right now, and some of these have been going on for a little while. Others of these are new. One of the most popular ones that I'm hearing about lately is Whole30. So that's one that actually a lot of my friends are doing right now, and so I'm getting a lot of questions about that. Another one is keto.
Mm-hmm.
So some people have heard of that, and a lot of people are trying that out to see if they can make that work.
So keto is just a little bit more specific. The Atkins diet was really the first keto diet.
Kind
right?
of. Atkins was technically not keto because it emphasized more protein.
Mm.
Whereas the keto diet actually is really, really heavy in fat. In fact, 75% of your calories come from fat on the keto diet. And so Atkins wasn't necessarily promoting more fat. It was really emphasizing the protein.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times what ended up happening was people ended up being in a ketosis state while they were on Atkins because they were eating so few carbs.
Mm. Well, and you're going to explain, you know, what Whole30 and
yeah.
keto and all that is. But before we do this.
Yeah.
And I've come back to this every time you're on the program. The very first quote I can remember you giving us way back in June of mm-hmm. last year was, the most reliable indicator of weight gain
right.
is whether you have been on a diet.
Yes.
Why is that true?
So, you know, when you do a research study, you look at correlations typically. You can't always determine cause and effect, right? And so when I'm answering this question, Jim, I'm sort of giving you my opinion, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I do think that when we go on a quote unquote diet, mm-hmm. we end up creating, and we don't necessarily always create them ourselves. We may follow a plan or something, but we all have these rules in our mind of, you know, foods that are good for us and foods that are bad for us. And we make these rules. And then when we don't follow these rules 100%, we get upset with ourselves. And oftentimes that leads to going off of the diet. We sort of spiral at that point, right? We feel guilty about not following our diet. And so then we don't follow our diets even more, you know, and it's this vicious cycle, right? And so we've really been finding in research that this yo-yo dieting, you know, losing 15, 30 pounds and then regaining it and then losing it again, that's actually worse for our health than just being a little bit bigger than we technically should be.
Gotcha. So why don't you start, it's going to take us a few segments to get through
sure.
all of these,
yeah.
but let's start maybe with Whole 30.
Okay.
Tell us what that diet is. And
yeah.
you mentioned that a lot of your friends are on it. In general, what is kind of the makeup of your friends?
Yeah. Well, so I am in my late 30s. So I'd say most of my friends are similar age. We all have children, you know, fairly young still, preschool to elementary school age. You know, the reasons that they're doing this diet, it varies actually quite a bit. So one of my friends is doing it to try to figure out if there's a food that's triggering her migraines.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my friends is doing it for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my friends felt like, you know, gosh, I feel like I'm just eating too much crap right now. I'm going to kind of use this as a reset.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different reasons that people might choose, you know, to do really any kind of diet. So those are just a few examples. And actually, Jim, I want to say one thing. I would love to hear from some of our listeners today about, you know, if they've started a diet for the new year and how's it going so far.
Yeah.
I would love to hear from some people listening.
Well, let's let people know. Our number to the studio is 505-338-5790. If you call and you want to talk to Jennifer Bryant, she is Nourish Nutrition Counseling. It's a company and a service that she provides. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, if you want to go to her nourishednutritioncounseling.com website, you can find out good information there. But our phone number again here at the ABQ Connect line is 505-338-5790. And to our first three callers, I'll give you some passes, four of them, in fact, to Hinkle Family Fun Center. And that'll kind of make it fun.
Yeah.
So start with us about Whole 30.
So Whole 30. And just to say that as well, you're welcome to call in and ask a question about one of these diets
sure.
too. I'd love to answer questions. So Whole 30 generally, it's actually pretty restrictive. It focuses on whole foods, hence the name. And then 30 stands for the goal is to do this for 30 days. And then after the 30 days, you are to gradually add back foods and to notice how your body feels when you add those foods back. So the goal is to kind of start paying attention to your body a little bit better and figure out what is causing any negative symptoms. Okay. So people use this a lot to figure out like autoimmune issues, maybe chronic pain issues, and also irritable bowel syndrome. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of puzzles that can be solved with doing something like this. And so this is a diet that for some people I would actually recommend. It's basically in a nutshell, it's no grains, no corn, no gluten, no nightshades. So some people know what those are. Some people don't. Nightshades are a group of vegetables, eggplant, peppers, tomatoes, and white potatoes are all in that nightshades category. And so it cuts those out. It cuts out dairy, it cuts out sugar, and it cuts out legumes, beans, lentils, and soy. So, you know, the good things about Whole 30 is it really does a good job emphasizing lots of whole foods, right? So fruits, vegetables, lean meats, healthy fats. So that's a really good thing about it. And it, you know, like I said before, it may really help you figure out some of your symptoms that you're having and if the foods that you're eating are making them worse. It's, you know, the negatives of the Whole 30 are it's really strict. So it's hard. You've got to change your lifestyle really completely. And so some people have a really hard time finding substitutions. People find that they're really hungry on this. You know, it's only for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that if we don't make a lifestyle change, some of that weight loss that we're trying to achieve just comes right back on. And then the other thing that people find with this is sometimes they get constipated because it's a little bit lower in fiber since there aren't any whole grains or beans.
Well, as usual, we're blowing through our time. We have to say thank you to our sponsors. We're going to have Jennifer back in just a minute. We hope you will listen to our sponsors and frequent them and support them. So thank you for being here with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Duke City Ready Mix, your local premier concrete and gravel producer, recently received national recognition by winning the Excellence in Concrete Quality Award from the National Ready Mix Association. We are dedicated to earning your trust by our consistent quality, service, and by being a good neighbor, serving the entire valley. Visit us at QualityMattersHere.com or call 877-5777. Duke City Ready Mix, quality, service, community.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
Has anyone ever said to you, you can't see the forest for the trees? It's a way of saying that you've missed the big picture, and that often happens when we study Scripture.
The Bible is worth reading slowly, and there's value in going slow. But there's also value in an approach like this where you speed it up, and you cover vast portions of Scripture. It gives to us the big picture, and we need to see how the plan all fits together.
We want to help you grasp the big picture of the Bible by sending you the companion workbook to The Bible from 30,000 Feet by Skip Heitzig. This workbook enhances your personal Bible study with thought-provoking questions that help you understand the timeline, main message, and key doctrine. Your knowledge of the Bible will grow, and so will your love for God and His Word. We'll send you your copy of the Bible from 30,000 Feet workbook when you give a generous donation of $35 or more today to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air. Call now to give 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, in studio with us this afternoon. And again, talking about fun things, food. But as Hebrews 12:11 says, discipline is never pleasant. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to be pretty disciplined in order to achieve the health things. Jennifer, before we talk about the specifics of Whole 30, I want people to understand, you know, body image has become a big thing, mm-hmm. psychologically, right. physiologically. And so I want to ask you the straight out question. Does healthy mean skinny?
No. Or does skinny mean healthy?
Right.
No, definitely not. So it's very, very possible. You know, the doctors have come up with this term called ideal body weight. Mm-hmm. And there's, according to the BMI, the body mass index, there's a little bit of a range there. But what we're finding is that we don't necessarily have to be in that quote unquote normal range to have good health. And then we also see really thin people that may or may not be eating very well, and right. they may or may not be fit. And
I've got some friends that'll go to McDonald's and eat a large fry every day. Right. And you know that can't be good for
right, them. Exactly. So you can't always tell just by somebody's weight what's really going on in their body. Mm. And so I think, you know, one of the emphases that I do with all of my clients is we really look at how does food make us feel? Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes we focus on the taste of it and we know what we like the taste of, but then we sort of ignore what's happening in our bodies after we eat it. Mm. And so that's one of the things I like to get people thinking of again is, you know, after you eat that, you know, bag of chips or whatever it is, that big candy bar, how do you feel after that? Does that make you feel good?
No.
Usually not.
No.
Right?
Sugar really, well, I'll share a testimony with you. So when I was 15, freshman in high school, it kind of started this pattern in my life where game day of a basketball game, we would all get together at somebody's house and we'd have this, you know, somebody's mom would make this huge, you know, thing of spaghetti. Mm-hmm. And we would carbohydrate load at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so from the time I was 15 all the way through college doing this same thing, I would always be sick to my stomach for the game. Well, they would tell me I have a nervous stomach, this and that. They tested me for celiac disease, thought I was allergic to gluten. That always came back negative, mm-hmm. nothing like that. And it wasn't until just literally 10 years ago, which is, you know, I'm over 60 now. So I was told that you're allergic to starch. Well, that doesn't seem like it would have been very hard to figure out mm-hmm. when I was 15 years old, mm-hmm. but it would have been a lot more comfortable. When I today just concentrate on primarily green vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and a little bit of lean meat, mm-hmm. my digestive system is great.
You feel so much better.
I mean, yeah. But if I, you know, my favorite foods are rice, bread, mm-hmm. pasta, mm-hmm. no more. I can't have them.
Yeah.
Because if I even indulge a little bit, it just destroys
me. You don't feel good. Well, and there, you know, the good news is we're learning a lot more about these kinds of food sensitivities. And there's a couple of tests out now that are fairly accurate that can give you some idea of what you might be sensitive to and what's perfectly fine for you to be eating. They're not 100% accurate though still. So I always tell people the best way is still to just pay attention to your body and how you feel after you eat something. But, you know, going back to some of these popular diets, the Whole 30 diet is actually one of the good ones that can maybe help people figure out some of these things. But like I said, it's really challenging. It's very restrictive. There's a lot of rules. And so you have to be really committed and really disciplined to be successful with something.
And as
like
part
this.
Of your service, you're helping people walk through this.
Yeah.
And are they logging or are they keeping track of stuff?
Not necessarily. I do sometimes have them keep what I call a symptom journal. Mm. So where they're keeping track of any, you know, negative symptoms that they're experiencing. And then if they do experience something, then I do ask them to write down what they ate before that, just mm-hmm. so we can start making some connections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go through some of the diets with us. You've already kind of described the Whole 30 diet. I know keto versus veganism.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that both of these, the keto diet and also veganism, are wildly popular now, both of them. And they're really opposite. They're almost completely opposite in terms of recommendations. One of the things that I do want listeners to think about as we're talking, though, is there's a couple of things that run true to all of these diets, and that's vegetables, mm-hmm. right? There is no diet that excludes vegetables. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and you feel like, oh my goodness, all of those sound really hard, or that's too hard, you know, maybe just think about trying to increase the amount of vegetables that you eat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a huge life change right at the beginning. You can focus on a small little part of your diet and make a really big difference. So the keto diet is really low carb. Keto diet has actually been around for a really long time. It started when we first started learning about nutrition in the 1920s and 30s. And what some of the doctors were finding was that when they put these kids on really low carb diets that have frequent seizures, their seizure frequency decreased significantly.
When they had low carbs.
Yes. And so this keto diet was originally designed to really help kids, really help manage seizures in children with epilepsy. And so the keto diet has actually been around quite a while. We now use it for weight loss for most people. Sometimes people use it for other reasons, for, increased energy or, other health issues potentially. But so keto diet's really low carb. It's less than 50 grams a day, which really just allows for vegetables, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. There are some pros to the keto diet. There's some research now that it may improve insulin function. Mm. So, you know, if there's a family history of diabetes, that might be a good option. But here's the funny part about it. Veganism, there's studies on that too, and it has the same effect. Mm. It also can improve insulin function. And so, you know, people who are promoting either one of these diets, that's one of the big things that they'll say is a benefit of their diet, but really it's true for both of them.
So in a keto diet, you're eating primarily vegetables?
You're eating primarily fat.
Oh, fat.
With a little bit of vegetables and a little bit of protein. Yeah, so it's really heavy with the fats and fairly low, extremely low in carbohydrates and fairly low in protein.
So does that mean like when you're cooking a vegetable, you're putting it in olive oil?
Yes.
So you're getting a healthy fat at the same time you're eating a
Yes. Yes. And typically with some of the plans, it depends on which one you follow exactly, but a lot of the plans are promoting healthier fats now, which is definitely a bonus. Some people also, or we've seen in some research that it might potentially lower our hunger and our sugar cravings, which mm-hmm. is a good thing because a lot of people would say they're addicted to sugar. There is concern though with keto with, of course, everybody knows that has done it. You don't feel well the first couple weeks you're on it. There's this thing called the keto flu, mm-hmm. and it's a real thing. You get physical symptoms that are not fun. And then if you ride them out, then typically after that, people start feeling better.
The process, though, the very term keto means you are in ketosis.
Yes, exactly.
And so you begin to burn the fat in your body first.
Exactly.
And if you ever run out of fat in your body, you better be consuming enough fat to burn, because then it starts to attack
your
proteins.
Your muscles.
And your mm-hmm. muscles.
Exactly.
And that's really a dangerous thing for type 1 diabetics when they go into ketosis.
Yeah, and actually that's a good thing to talk about too, is this is definitely much too extreme of a diet if you are a diabetic that's on insulin. Mm. This is something that you would want to be working really closely with a dietitian or a certified diabetes educator or your doctor with, because there are definitely some concerns with diabetes with the blood becoming too acidic if you have too many ketones in your bloodstream. And so there's a delicate balance there to doing something like this.
Well, and of course, you are a certified diabetic educator.
Yes.
And can handle that as well. If you want to talk to Jennifer this afternoon, please call us on the ABQ Connect line. That is 505-338-5790. More with Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade of Dave Slade & Associates. Holly, you're the expert I go to when I've got the real estate questions I need answers to.
Thanks, Steve.
I was talking to a young man not long ago who's been in a job for 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. He's doing pretty good. And, he was talking about wanting to buy a home someday. And I said, what's keeping you from doing that? And he says, well, I don't have a down payment yet. So what would you tell a young person that's thinking about buying?
You know, there are so many first-time home buyer programs out right now, and even next home buyer programs, that only require $500 down. So as long as somebody's got $500, they can get in on a conventional program, they can get in on an FHA program, and with zero down, they can get in on a VA program. So down payment right now is just really not an issue. There's so much opportunity.
And $500 in today's economy, Holly, I could almost shake that out of my car on my couch. Really, if someone is thinking about it and they've got those questions, and really, it's almost a little anxiety about buying as a young person. They don't know really the path to take. They need to talk to the expert. How do they reach you?
They should give us a call. 75% of young people, it is still the American dream to own a home. So we'd like to help them with that. So give us a call at 342-8100.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise at knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nurse Nutrition Counseling, is in the studio with us this afternoon, and we're talking about fun things like food and eating, which I really like doing.
Which I talk about all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Do you ever get sick of food?
No, I don't. Every once in a while, I feel like I need a break from talking about it, but not too often. I usually enjoy it.
When do you break down and eat that huge bowl of ice cream or that big candy bar or something like that? I did really well over the holidays until I saw a plate in the KNKT kitchen with those powdered sugar coated wedding cookies.
Oh, yes. Those are delicious.
Murdered me.
Yeah.
I just had to eat them. I was compelled.
Yeah. But I would say, Jim, I actually rarely overdo sweets. Mm. because I really don't feel good mm-hmm. when I do that. Mm-hmm. I frequently will have a little bit of a sweet, but I don't usually overdo them.
Yeah. Well, and so many people go to the grocery store and they buy these, quote, cereals that are a few oats with a lot of sugar
mm-hmm.
or a few grains of some type, mystery grains, I'll call them. But the sugar is not hidden. It mm-hmm. is, if you just look at a label, and our children cannot be doing well on that sugar.
Right. Well, and this is so interesting that you mentioned that, Jim, because our kids' nutrition, this is a huge part of their learning. You know, if I see kids all the time go to school and I ask them, you know, what'd you have for breakfast today? You know, they had a big bowl of Frosted Flakes and they're struggling on their tests with their concentration. They can't sit still, you know, and you wonder. And now obviously food is not always the answer to absolutely everything, but I do think that if we changed how we eat a little bit, I think that would make a really big difference in a lot of areas.
Tell us, we're going to talk about veganism in a minute. Mm-hmm. You've talked about Whole30 diet, the keto diet, and then we want to talk about veganism here in the remaining part of our segment. But before we do that, are there some basic biblical principles that you like to apply when you're talking about diet?
Yes, so many, Jim. There's a couple, and I could talk for a whole show on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say a couple of the really important ones. Number one would be self-control. Mm. So, you know, people say to me all the time that I don't have self-control. And, you know, it's not something you have or you don't have. It's something that actually the Bible calls us to, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. So in Galatians 5:22-23, you know, Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and one of them is self-control. So as we grow in our relationship with Christ, that means that our ability for self-control increases as well. Mm-hmm. And so I like to encourage people in that, because I think once we start telling ourselves we don't have any, then again, it's this vicious cycle, right? We tell ourselves we don't have any, and so then we have a hard time actually practicing that self-control. Mm-hmm. And then the less we practice it, the less strong that self-control muscle gets. Mm-hmm. This is what I call it, right? And so I think we really have to think about that. It's not something that we have or we don't have. It's something we can grow in.
I heard a pastor one time talking to people about alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, God has not given you a faith to walk into a bar with your favorite drinks at hand, mixed drink, beer, whatever it might be. He's not given you a faith to walk into a bar and resist it.
Right.
He's given you the faith not to go in the door. That's
yes,
right.
Exactly.
And I know people that will grab a bag of Lay's potato chips. Mm-hmm. I'm raising my hand. I've told you before, that's a major weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just buy it and everybody else in the house mm-hmm. can eat it. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, and I have embarrassingly, you know, eaten more chips. I am a chipaholic. Mm-hmm. I'm raising my hand. Mm-hmm. I have to stay away from chips because I don't actually have trouble if I stay away from them.
Right.
It's just if they're sitting there on the table.
Right.
You can go to a Mexican food restaurant in Albuquerque, which I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. I like new Mexican food. But I don't like to have the chips and salsa and stuff. It's very delicious, but I can't stop eating it.
Right, right. And that's a part of it, is controlling your environment and being smart about it, right? Making good decisions and making sure that you're setting yourself up for success, right? I think that's a big piece of it. The other biblical principle that I just want to mention real quick is the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Mm. Okay. So when we decide that we need to change our diet, what do? We complain.
Mm.
It's hard. This is terrible. We get grumpy. We get hangry, right? We just lose all joy, right?
There you go.
So I think it's so important to flip it and look differently and say, wow, this is great. I'm feeling so much better. I'm treating my body so much better. Let's be joyful with the experience rather than complaining about it. Mm.
Jennifer Bryan in studio. Our number is 505-338-5790. If you'd like to call and talk to Jennifer about a question having to do with diet or nutrition, she's available for you to do so, and I'll give you some tickets to Hinkle Family Fun Center for your family. For example, we've got the Hinkle folks have celebrated their 25th anniversary last year and have given us passes, say four go-kart passes for a family. So a family fun pack is available to you if you'd like to talk to Jennifer Bryant. Jennifer, tell us about veganism. What is that?
Yeah, so veganism is, it's actually simple in explaining it. It's basically no animal products, period. So everything you eat is plant-based. And so that means no meats, no eggs, no fish, no dairy. Okay, so it's, we're taking out a lot of what, you know, America would consider these high protein foods. Mm-hmm. And so, again, as with any diet, there's some pros and cons. Veganism is no different. There's some environmental pluses with veganism. So that's why a lot of people do it. That's why a lot of people choose to do that. A lot of times, and again, we mentioned this with, same with keto, it improves insulin function. Mm-hmm. Veganism is actually shown to reduce any type of heart disease as well. Mm-hmm. It's shown to reduce blood pressure, cholesterol, all of these good things. So it has some really good benefits. But with veganism, again, you're cutting out some major food groups. So you're probably looking at some nutrient deficiencies unless you're knowledgeable about it and you do a good job with supplementation. And so there's a couple nutrients like vitamin D, calcium, B12. All of these are ones that you'd want to supplement if you decide to go vegan. And here's the interesting thing, Jim. We've talked about this a little bit on some of our shows, but you know, if you're deciding, oh my goodness, do I do keto or veganism? How do I decide? There are actually some clues in some of our genes that would actually tell you which would be a more appropriate diet for yourself.
Well, and we'll talk about genetic testing, I think, toward the end of our, but we have a call now from Cheryl. She's asking about veganism. Cheryl, thanks for calling. Oh, she's not yet quite available. Okay. We'll talk to Cheryl in just a minute. So finish telling me about, I want to address, you know, what are the downside to veganism is that you're missing out on some minerals.
Right.
Like some, you're not getting
calcium,
zinc.
Yeah. Vitamin D, B12 is a huge one. So, you know, there's definitely, you've got to have some knowledge if you want to do one of these really restrictive diets, because there are some things that you need to know and supplements that you need to use in order to be healthy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you've also mentioned in the past things like the Mediterranean diet.
Yeah.
And that kind of sounds like it's a combination of both keto and veganism.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. And here's another common thread that you see through all of these, right? So all of them are high in vegetables, mm-hmm. right? All of them are low in processed foods.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when somebody starts on something like this, you know, we're finding that different people's bodies respond differently to different, you know, if it's high carb, low carb, which one's better. We don't know in terms of the general population. It's really a very individual recommendation. But the thing that runs true to all of them is the same, right? So why don't we just increase our vegetables and decrease the sugar and the processed foods? Why can't we just do that? Why do we feel like we have to follow all the rules?
Well, we'll come back after we talk to Cheryl. She's now available on the phone. Cheryl, thanks for calling. Jennifer, how can we help you?
Well, I caught the end or last 10 minutes of the show. And I was very interested because I've been through a lot with changing my diet. I'm now currently mostly vegan.
Okay.
My last child, I was pregnant and I had surgery because I had coughed so much. I had ruptured internally. Mm. And it wasn't until after she was born, 20 weeks later, that I went on Dr. Furman's 6-week program, and 2 weeks after doing that, I quit coughing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started narrowing it down. Oh, this is food. So I went on Dr. Furman's, got my blood pressure down, weight down, food allergies, everything.
Yeah, good for
but
you.
But as soon as I go back to eating anything. Like I can't have white flour, sugar, lots of things, animal fats, oils.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much vegan. And either Dr. Furman's or Dr. Greger, the one that wrote How Not to Die, How Not to Diet.
Yeah.
Those programs work really well for me.
Yeah.
But I still have some lingering mucus, chest mucus. My nasal passages clear up really well.
Yeah.
So my question is, sorry, so long.
That's okay.
How can I figure out what the final
straw
is that still keeps this lingering mucus? It's an inflammatory thing. I'm taking turmeric. I'm doing all kinds of things to try and eliminate the final part of this, and I can't narrow it down.
Yeah, it's so. Have you been keeping any food records?
Mostly mentally. I know what foods trigger it, and I can, you know, wind up coughing like crazy because of something.
So one thing that I'll say too is a lot of times the coughing is actually GERD. Have you been diagnosed with that?
GERD. No, I have not.
Okay. So this is one of the things people feel like they just have a bronchial issue, but it's actually some of that stomach acid coming back up, and it's more of a reflux, and it presents itself with a symptom of coughing. So that's potentially something. So one thing I would try is actually limiting some of the acidic foods that you're eating and see if that makes a difference. And then the other thing I would do is I would actually start writing it down, because you'd be amazed at some of the things that get lost in the brain when we don't actually put it down on paper.
Could that be? I was starting to notice that sometimes if I'm in a rush and I'm eating too quickly.
Absolutely. Yep. That's a classic symptom of reflux. Yep.
Cheryl, I have 5 children, and 2 of them eat at what I'll call a normal pace. The other 3 of my children and their dad, we eat so fast, like we're in a rush to go somewhere. And I've always admired people that could just savor the flavors and enjoy it and have a conversation. And more than anything, just relax, because I think that makes your digestive tract work better, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
I think that I'm starting to narrow that down a little bit. I know Dr. Michael Greger, he has this thing, the Daily Dozen. It's an app. So I've been using that to try and keep track of making sure. And one of the things he says on there is eat for 20 minutes, drag it out slower.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheryl, thanks so much for the call today. And I really admire all the things you've done and accomplished.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Definitely.
You know, you talk about the willpower thing, but for me, it's more like I have to do this or else I feel really bad.
Yeah.
So in a sense, it's a blessing.
It is. Well, it is a blessing to know, you know, knowledge is power. So.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be back more with Jennifer Bryant. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. I pray that in this new year, you set your heart and mind to give God all the glory that is due him. Happy New Year.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
Whether or not you know which unique skills and abilities God has given you, you can be certain that God has given you everything you need to accomplish His plan for your life. Campfire Girls, Gifts of the Spirit is a free citywide Bible study that begins Tuesday, March 5th at Calvary Church Westside. After the teaching each week, you'll be encouraged while learning something new at a small group session. Join Sheology and find out what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you as you step out in obedience. Details online at calvarynm.church. Registration not required.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
This is Jim Williams, host of ABQ Connect 2.0, heard each weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KNKT. Did you know that there are only three radio formats that tend not to be relegated to the background? They are talk radio, Christian, and sports. Audiences of these stations have their attention riveted to the content of the station itself. Advertisers on KNKT enjoy front page status, and our loyal KNKT family listens to your information. They don't just hear it. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com.
Hi, this is a Money Wise Minute with teacher Rob West.
A double-edged sword cuts both ways, and that's true for your credit card, too. It can be great for earning reward points, but if you don't pay off the balance each month, you get charged interest. Worse, if you're more than 30 days late making a payment, your credit score could be slashed. One out of five cardholders reports making at least one late payment. The penalty is $27, and it could rise to $38 each time you're late. And that's not all. If you're 60 days late, your card company will probably increase your interest rate, which could go as high as 30%. The only safe way to use a credit card is to pay off your entire balance on time every month. If you can't do that, chop it right in half.
And we can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you visit us online at moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are coming to you from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford, Jennifer Bryant, Nourished Nutrition Counseling in studio, and we've been talking about different diets, the popular things of the day, Whole 30 diet, the keto diet, veganism. Mm-hmm. And these are all things that you can find out information from Jennifer on her website, which is nourishednutritioncounseling.com. Mm-hmm. And I recommend that you Google it and go to that site. Some really fun things on the website. Jennifer, in this segment, we got about 8 minute segments left, mm-hmm. A little break in between. Let's talk about intermittent fasting mm-hmm. is another popular thing of the day.
This is a hugely popular thing of the day because it's not actually encouraging any specific type of food. It's all about the timing of the foods. Mm. So there's actually a lot of different ways that you can get into this. This is not necessarily a way of eating that I would recommend. However, I do recommend it for some of my clients in specific situations. And one of those specific situations would be insulin resistance mm-hmm. or early type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes. This can actually be a really wonderful way to give the pancreas a little break to sort of heal itself and recover, which is, I think, just amazing that mm-hmm. our bodies can do that sometimes. So intermittent fasting, the most popular way to do intermittent fasting right now is a 16-hour fast every day. So practically what that looks like is, you stop eating at 6 p.m., maybe right after dinner, and then you start eating again at 10 a.m. the next morning. Mm. So it's quite a long period of time with nothing to eat except for water to drink. And so the thought is that if you restrict the amount of time during the day that you can eat, you're going to eat less. Mm-hmm. And so typically that's what people are finding, and they're finding that their hunger levels are a little bit less and they feel a little bit better.
But you do this every day?
Every day. Wow. Yes. So this is one way to do it. There's a million other ways. One of the other popular ways is called a 5-2 intermittent fasting, where all that means is 5 days a week you eat normally, and then 2 days a week you restrict your calories to only 500 to 600 calories a day.
Mm.
So it's pretty restrictive for those 2 days. But then the other days you can eat whatever you want.
Tell us the problems with intermittent
fasting. Yeah. So the problems are, people would say that, they do get really hungry. And then we know, right, that when we're overly hungry, we don't make a good choice, right? Mm-hmm. So the danger is that getting back into that eating part of your day, you would end up overeating. Okay.
But I want to contrast that with something that you've said in an earlier program. If you're pounding carbohydrates, mm-hmm. you're not ever really going to feel full.
Right.
It almost promotes eating more carbohydrates.
Yes. Yes. So there's a balance, and our appetite hormones are really amazing things, right? They respond to more combinations of foods than they do just a particular food, which is why when we only eat a carbohydrate, like an apple, we don't feel full after that. But when we eat an apple, maybe with some peanut butter, now we have a sense of fullness because now we've had the carbohydrates, the protein, and the fat. And so our appetite hormones respond a lot better to that. So hunger is definitely a potential with intermittent fasting. There's also, like, if you're trying to get pregnant, this is not a good diet for you. It actually, there's some research that it could lower fertility. So that's something to think about. And then also, there's some research showing that this kind of an eating plan is much more beneficial for men than it is for women. So this is not necessarily something that everybody should do. And same with all the other diets we've been talking about, right? So everybody responds differently to different foods. And I think we really need to remember that too, because we get really passionate about things we believe in, right? Mm-hmm. And so let's say I go on keto and it's really working well for me and I'm feeling good and I'm doing awesome, and I want to tell all my friends that they should do it too. Mm-hmm. And that's really not what we should be doing. We really should be realizing that everybody is different. Everybody has different taste preferences. Everybody's bodies respond differently to different foods. So just because something works well for you doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody.
Well, I would imagine on intermittent fasting, it's also got to do with your activity level.
Yes.
I can only imagine a woman that's a long distance runner that may be in her mid-40s, trying to intermittent fast mm-hmm. before she goes out and runs 10
right.
miles is probably not a great idea.
No, and you can't do that when you're going on long distance endurance, hikes or runs or whatever you're doing. That's not smart, right?
Right?
So you have to think about these things, and you have to do, and maybe in that case, maybe if you wanted to try intermittent fasting, you would shift the timing of that.
Tell me about your process. I mean, you obviously have knowledge about all these diets.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I've heard already is that vegetables are included in all of these
mm-hmm.
diets. So not only do you know a little bit about that, we were talking off air before the show started about broccoli, for example. And I don't personally like the way broccoli smells when you are steaming it on the stove.
Right.
I just don't like the smell of it. But I don't mind it if you are doing like they do at a Japanese restaurant or a Thai restaurant where they're sauteing it mm-hmm. in some type of oil mm-hmm. on a grill. And I think that tastes pretty well, and it doesn't smell a lot different. Can't really remember roasting it, but you've got a couple neat recipes mm-hmm. on your website. And one of the things I wanted to bring up is you have a new recipe on your website.
Yeah.
And this is free, so people can go to nourishnutritioncounseling.com. You have a recipe for Parmesan baked chicken strips,
mm-hmm.
which looks really healthy mm-hmm. and really good. Tell us about that recipe.
It's funny. Jim actually found this recipe, and I just posted it yesterday. So,
yeah.
But it's really one of our favorites. So typically chicken strips are dipped in like an egg wash before you bread them and then you bake them. And sometimes they get really dry and they just, if you bake them instead of fry them, and they just don't taste very good. So I found that using just a little bit of butter to dip those chicken strips in, and then you put your breading on and then you bake them, they are so much more tender and just They're crispy. They're so delicious. The other thing that I did with this one was I reduced the amount of breadcrumbs that you use pretty significantly, because breadcrumbs are one of those refined carbohydrates, mm-hmm. right? Unless you make them yourself and you use a whole wheat bread, then they're considered a refined carbohydrate. And so I really reduced the amount of that, and I added more Parmesan cheese, which is what gives it its really good flavor. Mm. So they're really, they're delicious. They're easy. My kids love them. Everyone loves them.
You know, I think all of us think about our children. Now, my children are pretty much grown up, mm-hmm. but they still come over for dinner. Still as persnickety as they used to be. You know, you can't make all five of them happy at yeah. the same time. But when they were little, it was even harder. Yeah. Hard to find things that are really good for them. I laugh because there are certain things that you've said, like, I remember we had Pop-Tarts in our pantry, and you just looked at me and said, Jim, anything that'll stay on a shelf without refrigeration for 6 months to 10 years is not something you should be eating.
Right. Probably not good for you.
Yeah, probably not good for you. Our producer, Tim, asked a question just a minute ago. We're talking about things you eat. What about stuff you drink?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think it's important what we drink. I think Americans especially, we get a lot of extra sugar from our beverages. So it's important to think about what we're drinking. And I'm personally a big fan of trying to drink things that are not sweet.
Mm.
So, you know, we have all of these artificial sweeteners, even these natural sweeteners that we're putting in things that don't give us calories, but we're still so used to that sweet taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to get away from that a little bit. I think we love our sugar. We mm. really do. And no matter what form it's in, I think it's really affecting our appetite mm-hmm. and our desire for sweet
yeah.
foods.
Yeah. Well, more with Jennifer. We're going to have one last segment with her. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We're going to be talking about things on our next segment, about things we should be doing. And so as we move forward, we'll see you in just a minute. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Carlos Griego, owner of Bosque HVAC and Roofing. As we start a new year, we want to wish you and your family a prosperous and safe year in 2020. Happy New Year.
It's a night to celebrate Dr. Stephen Collins. Friday, January 17th, a dinner event at the Marriott Pyramid Hotel featuring Eric Metaxas, comedian Brad Stein, Steve Stucker, and hosted by Skip Heitzig. And here's what Pastor Skip said about Dr. Collins in a recent teaching.
As far as I know, the world's best living expert on the times of Abraham and the cities of the plain goes to this church, and his name is Dr. Steve Collins. Any questions about Sodom and Gomorrah, ask him. He's been digging it for 15 years.
Dr. Collins will bring an update on a search for biblical Sodom. It's a special night in Albuquerque, Friday, January 17th at the Marriott Pyramid Hotel at 7 p.m. For tickets, call 332-4253. That's 332-4253. This night to celebrate Dr. Stephen Collins with Eric Metaxas is presented by Trinity Southwest University, Veritas International University, and the Sodom Excavation Project. Call 332-4253.
Every team knows that the two-point play can be a winning move. That's why State Farm agent Jesse Dompre and his team are here to help you go for two by combining your home and auto insurance. It's a great call that saves you time and money. So go for the win and score savings by combining your home and auto. It's just another way we're here to help life go right. Call State Farm agent Jesse Dompre at 294-4422. 294-4422 today.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Nurse Nutrition Counseling, Jennifer Bryant in studio, reviewing for us today the popular diets of the day. So far we've talked about Whole30, keto, veganism, intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get through the whole list.
No.
But we've mentioned some pros and cons, and there are a lot of pros to each one of them.
There are. Absolutely.
Some things you have to be concerned about, like, for example, in veganism, you may not be getting all the minerals, and so you may consider doing some supplementation, and right. that may be true with some of the others as well.
Yes.
We talked about not just what you eat, but what you drink, and you kind of suggest that we should try to stay away from things that are artificially sweetened mm-hmm. or actually sweetened
anything
with sugar.
Anything sweet, yeah.
Yeah, so drinking water sounds pretty
Whoa.
Good. There you good. What about like a glass of wine?
Yeah. So wine can definitely fit. A glass of wine can definitely fit into, you know, a healthy lifestyle diet. There's always the risk of overdoing with everything, mm-hmm. you know, the only thing, and I keep saying this, so sorry if I sound like a broken record, but the only thing that you really can't get too much of is vegetables. But everything else, you know, you really have to keep it a little bit moderate because there can be too much of a good thing. And so wine is, of course, one of those things. There's pros and cons to wine. So there's some research that shows that it actually reduces appetite. Mm-hmm. It also can help people slow down when they're eating. Mm. So our last caller, you know, mentioned that the book she read told her to take 20 minutes to eat. So sometimes sipping wine in between bites can help sort of slow the meal down. And so then people tend to eat less. Conversely, they use it in nursing homes to actually increase appetites for some of their people who are maybe losing too much weight. Mm. So it can go both ways. And again, it kind of depends on the person. But a lot of wine has some good antioxidants and it can fit in a small moderate amount.
Well, and Jennifer, the faith community gets really concerned when we talk about anything that has alcohol.
Yeah.
Because it can be abused.
It can.
So easily.
Absolutely.
And it can cause problems for people. So you just really got to use a lot of discernment and be really careful and have accountability about all of this.
Yes. Yes. And I was going to say we can abuse alcohol. We can abuse food.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about that in the Christian community, I think, as much as we need to. And I think that this is one area that a lot of people struggle with, and we don't talk about it, and I don't know why. I think it's really important.
So wrap up for us with a nice pretty bow. What should we do? Where should our diets be going? What should we be focused on?
So I need to make the Nourished Nutrition Counseling diet, because there's bits and pieces of all of these popular diets right now that I actually really like. And so, you know, in general, what I'm recommending to people is more veggies. Mm. So my goal for the day is 9 cups of fruits and vegetables. 2 of those are fruits, 7 of those are vegetables.
Wow.
And I don't always get there, mm-hmm. but that's my goal. And I really do try to shoot for that every day. And I think that that's actually one reason when you're focusing on what you should be eating more of, you don't think as much about what you shouldn't be eating. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the areas where our brains hurt us, right? When we're thinking about what we shouldn't be eating, what do we want more of?
Right.
The thing that we shouldn't be eating. Right. So I think that's an important kind of mental shift.
That's why they're going to canonize Murphy's Law, because right. they're going to write that as part of the Bible one of these days.
Right, right. So more veggies, more whole foods. We've got to get rid of the sugar and the processed foods. And so, you know, with that comes more meal planning. That's really one of the things I help a lot of my clients do better is meal planning, making a grocery list, picking recipes for the week.
And doesn't the internet make that a lot easier? I mean, that's one good thing.
Sort of, but it could be a huge time waster too, because you can just get lost in looking at all the recipes and all the things all day long. And before you know it, you've wasted 2 hours with your meal plan. Mm-hmm. You know, that's 2 hours I don't have.
Right.
I don't know about most people, but so I think those are two big things, veggies, whole foods. And then I'm a big fan of intuitive eating, listening to your body. So after you eat that food, how did you feel? Did it make you feel good? Did it make you feel bad? Did it make you have energy? You know, how did that food interact with how you're feeling physically, emotionally? It's really amazing, actually, the effect that food has on our emotions as well. And so those are the three main things. And I think that's what I'm going to leave you with, Jim, because more than three things, we get overwhelmed, right? And then what do?
We don't do any of them.
We don't do any of them, right? So, you know, keep it focused. And I know this doesn't sound fancy or anything, but my clients who set goals for themselves every week, just one or two little things, those are the people that are really successful with this. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be a huge overhaul. But if you can just think about making one or two small changes a week, you'd be really surprised at what success you see from that.
Now, do people get shock treatments or something that break the diet that you set up for them?
What do you mean?
I'm just teasing, because I think that people that are on a diet, they're self-motivated. Like, I'm really impressed with what Cheryl said when she called today. I mean, she's accomplished a lot, obviously, and that does take some discipline.
It does.
But there's several things that I've learned from you over the last few months. First one is, it's not that expensive to eat correctly.
Right.
It's not like you have to go buy all this crazy packaged food that's super healthy for you. That's number one.
Yep.
And number two, it can be fun.
Absolutely. Food is fun.
That's right. Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling. We'll see you tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.